I think it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to speak to you. I think Leanne sometimes would like for it to be less frequently than it is. Sometimes I turn into a zombie trying to get ready for things like this, but I appreciate her patience with me. I want to start out this morning in a little unconventional way to introduce my lesson. You may have forgotten, because we're also used to seeing it, there's a canvas or a banner on that wall on the east, beside the east entrance there of the foyer. Big letters, it says Jesus. And there are a lot of descriptive terms around that to attempt to describe Jesus and what he meant to us. There's a project we did in Bible Lab about 6 years ago. The kids were talking about that, and we turned it over to them, and they found these terms, they found the verses, they found the things they would like to say about Jesus, and we documented that. We have a video of that. Particularly for some of you who weren't here at the time, I'd like to show you that, just to give you an idea of the caliber of young people we have here, and their ability and their talents. Plus, it'll just make us feel good to see some of those kids now who, some are married, engaged, college. So bear with us. I'd like to share that with you now, let you see that.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life.
To me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. He's our example and our friend. He is our teacher to lead us to where we're supposed to be and how we live our life.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
He is the Prince of Peace.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Jesus is the Lord of all lords.
He is our Emmanuel.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep as my Father knows me, and my sheep know me as I know my Father. I give my life for the sheep.
Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are my real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone my spirit may yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
He is Christ.
Jesus is the truth and our example.
Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Jesus is the everlasting Father.
Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Jesus is our brother only after we are baptized. The Son of God who came to earth to teach us how to be righteous. He also came to earth to sacrifice himself in the end for us. He did great works.
Jesus is a lot of things. There's no one word to completely sum up all he is. But there is a place to start. The place to start is knowing that Jesus is your friend.
Pretty impressive kids. I have to admit, I've enjoyed working with them over the years, and Leanne and I both have had a real wonderful opportunity to teach young people, and we appreciate them very much. As I say, they introduced my lesson this morning, because who is Jesus? You know, that's the answer to that question has been pursued for centuries. Even before Jesus walked on this earth, people marveled at the prophecies and wondered about these blessings that were promised that would come. There would be a king that was greater than any king had ever been. And he would rule over an everlasting kingdom. He'd be an atonement for the sins of many. And he would bring hope to the hopeless. Because of him, out of Zion would flow rivers of living waters. And he'd be a Messiah who would bring salvation to all people of all nations. You can imagine the wonder and the anticipation of something like this coming. And the Old Testament is full of prophecies. I think someone estimated nearly 400 prophecies pointing to this Jesus. And Malachi was, as far as our record goes, the last prophet that God used in the Old Testament times to speak to His people. Be 400 years before He would send word again. But in Malachi 3, He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire, and the launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." All prophecies encourage the faithful, because they look for a time of this coming of this Messiah. But Malachi tells us He will not only be a purifier of some, but He will be a judge of others. Who will it be? And when will He come? You know, the questions, I'm sure, came rapidly to these. Even Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophecies and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." I can't imagine walking the earth with our Savior. I keep remembering the story of Simeon in the temple, who was promised that he would see salvation before he died. Who is this Jesus, the Anointed One? You know, the question continued even when his birth was announced to those shepherds watching over their flock. And they went to see what this event was that they were told about. And the wise men came from the east, great distance, following a star, to see who this King of the Jews was. And even Herod, although for the wrong reasons, he sought out to find out, who is this who's been called the King of the Jews? And later on, that, you know, the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, they all tried to convince themselves that there is no way this unlearned Galilean could be the Messiah. But they were confused and perplexed by His wisdom. And even they wondered, who is this that calls Himself the Son of Man? You know, even His own disciples, that night they were caught in a storm, Sea of Galilee, when Jesus calmed the storm. They said, "Who can this be? For He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." Jesus said in John chapter 7, "He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Will Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was division among the people because of Him. Who is this Jesus? On the Sunday before He was crucified, He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Matthew 21 tells us they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on Him and set Him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then multitudes that went before and those who followed crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when He had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" Jesus asked His disciples one day, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." A few years later, a man named Saul from Tarsus was on his way to Damascus with authority from the Sanhedrin to put down this sect of followers of this man, Jesus. And of course, you know the story. He encountered a vision on the road, was struck down. He asked one question: "Who are you, Lord?" Who is Jesus? If we desire the hope of some sort of fellowship with God, we've got to be able to answer that question. Do we know who Jesus is? Let's take a little test. Let's compare ourselves to Philip. John chapter 1, Jesus told Philip to follow me. Philip went to Nathanael. And he said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "What? Come and see." Those who truly know who Jesus is, as Philip did, are compelled to say, "Come and see." Those who know Jesus, truly know Jesus, do not package their faith in some kind of multi-step ritual one day a week and forget who he is the other six. Those who truly know who Jesus is realize they're lost in their sins and know they need a Savior. And when they find him, they can't wait to share him. 1 John 5, John tells us this: "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Jesus came to be our Savior. That's who he is. But he's also something else. Who is Jesus? You know, the answer is easy and the answer is difficult. Somewhere out there on that banner, you'll see the word Lord. I think at one place it says Lord of Lords. And the other it says Christ. And underneath that it says Lord. Jesus died to be our Savior. And he lives to be our Lord. I met a young man a few days ago. As a matter of fact, he's a young man that works with Uliana. We were talking about some things and somehow we got around to the discussion of faith and religion. And he made a comment to me that really struck me. The more I thought about it, the more I think I agreed with him. He said, "Knowing Jesus as my Savior and my friend," he said, "was easy. But it took me a while," he said, "to know him as my Lord." He said, "That's difficult." And I thought about that and I think, you know, he's exactly right. We can recognize the idea of what Jesus did for us, and we can call him our friend, which he is. But to know him as our Lord will take some work. You know, when we find ourselves with a heart that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, like the eunuch did after Philip taught him about Jesus, we make a confession. We say, "Jesus is my Savior, the Son of God." In Romans 10, Paul writes about a confession that's a little different than the one that recorded in Acts chapter 8 that the eunuch made. Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." You know, Paul wrote down, "Confess that Jesus is the Lord." How often should we do that? And I think since he used the term Lord, I think he's talking about something a little different than what we might confess when we decide to obey God. Because he used the term Lord, makes me think he's talking about every day. Every day of our lives. You know, Peter said on the day of Pentecost that God made the one they had crucified both Lord and Christ. Two different terms here describing the same being. One a Savior and one a Master. I looked up the meaning of Lord and I found this. It says, He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. Master, Lord, title given to the Messiah. If Christ is our Lord, we belong to Him. And if we expect to go to heaven, we're going to have to pattern our life after Him. We're going to have to love Him as He loves us. So back to the young man's problem. Why is it so difficult to know Jesus as my Lord? It's because of self. It's hard to give ourselves over to Jesus every day, every hour, and every minute. That's not easy. Because we think we know what's best for us, we make decisions that sometimes aren't the right decisions. And when we do that, we shut out what Jesus knows is best for us. Jesus said we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. As I said earlier, we can't package our faith in a few acts of worship and expect God to be pleased with that. Because Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I tell you?" If Jesus is my Lord, I will give Him more than calling Him Lord a few hours a week. He expects more than that from me, and He deserves more than that. And should I desire to go to heaven, it's going to take more than that. And you know, we all desire to know Jesus as our Lord, or we wouldn't be here. And you know, we're all at different stages of understanding of what that really means in our life. Some have just begun to know Jesus as their Lord, and others of us have been struggling with it for a number of years. And I think we need to learn patience with each other, realizing that we do all want the same thing. And we should help each other rather than being judgmental or critical of someone else's progress. Jesus died for me and took away my sins. That's the gospel. How do I respond to that? The Bible's pretty plain about that. I must be a part of Him. Repent of my worthless life and confess that He is the Son of God and be baptized into His body. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day to be my Lord. That's the gospel too. How should I respond to that? I must live and do and speak as He does and as He would desire me to do. To be one who serves His Master and seeks to please Him every day, every hour, and every minute. Who is Jesus? He's my Savior and my Lord. He's your Savior and your Lord. Because of this, we have a special opportunity to get our souls to heaven. And not only us, but each other and others. And when Paul said, confess Jesus of your Lord, as your Lord, I think he did mean every day. And we need to confess Him to all those who crosses our path each day. To those who are seeking the answer to the question, who is Jesus? We know who Jesus is. Let's help others, especially our young people, learn who He is and what a blessing He is. You know, if you've noticed lately, that canvas out there is beginning to fade. I hate that. But that's like all things involved in this life. They slowly go away. They don't last. And today we're one day closer to eternity. Tomorrow we'll be another day closer. What are we going to do about that? Those of you who discover that Jesus is your Savior, you have an opportunity this morning to do something about that. And we hope you do. We're here to encourage you and to help you in any way that we can, so that you might appreciate more about what He's done for us, and appreciate all the prophecies that were pointed to Him and fulfilled, every one of them. If you want to learn more about Jesus as your Lord, let's work together on that, because that's what we all want. That's what we're all hoping for. And we're all going to make mistakes. And we're going to need each other's help. And this is an amazing group of people here who are willing to do whatever it takes to get us all to heaven. That's what we need. That's what we want. Because we know who Jesus is. If we can help you this morning in any way, we'd love to do that as we stand together and sing this song of invitation.